Bear with me. I do think I have, you know, we'll get into the omek of the sugya a few minutes in. It may take a few minutes to get into the sugya, you know, to read the Gemara. I think we will find, know the Gemara about Mahajim and Mahajim, the three levels of Chanukah, the Machlokas Rashi, sorry, Tosfos in the Rambam. It'll take a few minutes to get into it, what I think is more the juice, the depth of the sugya. But let's start off in order. Start with the beginning with the Gemara and Daf Kafal from the Beis. Let's start. Tanya Rabbana says the Braisa mitzvahs Chanukah ner ish ubeso. The minimum level is one ner for ish ubeso. Vamahadrin ner lekol echad yechad. Each person level number two is mahadrin. You know, ner for each person. Vamahadrin minimahadrin. Beishamai omrim yom rishon madlik shmoni mikan veelach poches baholich. Beishil omrim yom rishon madlik achis mikan veelach. Mosif Baholech. Right, the famous Machlokas based on Beshamay, do you go from 8 down to 1, or 1 up to 8 in terms of how to fulfill the mitzvah? Mahajim and Mahajim had the level number 3. Amr Ula Pligi Batrea Marai Bimarav, Rav Yossi Bar Abim, Rav Yossi Bar Zvina. Chadam Artami Beshamay Kadegi Yom HaNechnas, Artami Beshamay Yom HaYotzim. Is it, you know, we're how many days going in or days coming out? Which decrease, so to this decreases, while according to Beis Hillel it increases. Any comments on this Gemara? Any thoughts? Any interesting observations? Anything that's worthwhile to note? What's interesting about this? Feel free to take part. I'll broaden the question. What's the svar for Beis Hillel? What's the svar for Beis Shammai? What's behind this machlokes? And according to each of the Amorayim, why would you say Yotzin? Why would you say Nechnasin? Or why would you say Ma'ariv HaKodesh versus Pari HaChag? And specifically, what's the connection from Pari HaChag to Chanukah? Is it just, is there some intrinsic connection? Is it just like that, some cute example or some other time you go down? What's going on with this machlokes over here? We're not going to get to the depth of that today, but it's certainly worthwhile observation to note on this Gemara. Yeah, what else? So probably the most troubling thing, we're not going to discuss it too much here either, is it's unprecedented, really. It's an anomaly in halacha to find a situation where there are different levels of how to do the mitzvah. You know, if you want to lift up a lulav, that's really great. If you want to lift up a lulav and an esrog, well, that's mahadrin. If you want to lift up a lulav, an esrog, and an arava, well then, you know, buckle down, you get 3 out of 4 points. And if you really want to do the mitzvah, mahadrin, mahadrin, well then you can lift up all 4 minim. That's unprecedented. Did you ever have a mitzvah where the chefta, or the maisa mitzvah, I should say, changes based on hiddur? 99% of hiddur mitzvahs are the same old mitzvah, just a nicer version of it, a nicer chefta, maybe a more beautiful tefillin, a nicer pair of tzitzis, maybe even a nicer maisa, not just a chefta, but a maisa for the famous Rashbam in the beginning of Arvei Pesachim. That says the reason why you shouldn't eat samach l'mincha, Rashi and the Rashbam both say, it's because we want to make sure you eat b'tayavo, b'tayva, you have some type of hunger, and that's a hinder mitzvah. So not only could the chefta be improved, but the maisa, but l'chor, it's shocking that there's a change. That's also where I thought something really interesting to note. And lastly, the machlokes I want to talk about is that I guess we'll call it an unclarity as to whether or not level 3 takes into account level number 2. When we say that there's a mitzvah of mahadrim and a mahadrim to take into account every single night, well, from here on out, we'll assume we pass them like Beis Hillel. That's certainly the case. We'll just talk in terms of Beis Hillel. Now we're increasing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Is that one per person or is that one per house? Now, in other words, level number 1 is certainly house-focused. Doesn't matter how many people are in the house, you light one candle per house. And level number 2 is certainly people-focused, and the question is, you know, what's level number 3? Is it built off of people, or is it, you know, does it revert back to house? Is it essentially an elevated mahadrin? Is level 3 an elevated level 2, or is it an elevated level 1? With me, is it like 3, which is 2 plus, or is it 1 almost B? You would be like, no, there's 1 A and 1 B. You know, and that's the famous machlokes. The Rambam quotes his own shita versus the Sephardic practice, which we'll see as machlokes Tosfos as well. The Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah, the Perek Dalet, we'll read some of the Rambam to the side in a little bit. The Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah in Perek Dalet says that the standard, the simple pshat, what makes sense to him, is really to take into account both level 3 and level 2, and therefore, let's just say if you're having the 8th night, since there are about 10 people in the house, you'd have 80 candles, and the 3rd night, 30 candles, 20 candles, 10, 10, 2, whatever, 20 candles, try 10 people, 20 candles, every single night, it's you take into account, from Mahajan to Mahajan, both the number of people and the number of nights. That's not just the Rambam Shita, it's also the Rabbeinu Yohanan that the Ran quotes, and the Shita that the Ritzvah quotes, it's even the Yeshonim. So it comes up a few days in Yeshonim, but probably the more popular Shita of Yeshonim is not that way. It's not that, you know, Mahajan, and you have Mahajan, and you have over here above this level number 2. Now the question is, where does Mahajan and Mahajan go? Is it over here or is it over here? And is it built off of, does it piggy bank off of level number 2 and takes into account both people and days? Or does it kind of circumvent the number of people and only takes into account days? It's one menorah per family. And that, by the way, the Sephardic practice seems to be much more along those lines, while the Ashkenazic practice seems to be the other way around. We'll get into the details of that a little bit later. But that's the famous Machlokes Tosfos in the Rambam. People probably knew that coming in, but if not, is it clear? Good. Who makes more sense at first glance? I thought the Rambam. I thought the Rambam makes more sense because you should take into account both days and people. If level number 2 takes into account people, and level number 3 takes into account days, is there a reason why you would not want to take into account people? We'll see. Where do you say what?
It doesn't say that everybody
plays. You're right, it doesn't say either one, meaning you wouldn't necessarily know on your own, but I thought intuitively. Well, he's talking about the number
eight.
And they're I hear.
I'm saying the truth is, I could certainly see anyone saying, "Well, of course the Gemara is talking about one person." What? Okay, I hear what you're saying. Okay, I hear. You're saying textually it sounds a little more like Tosfos along the line of Tosfos in Beis Shalom. You know, Rishon Malik Shmona. Does that mean per house or per family? I have no idea what that means. And Beis Hillel says, Yom Yishol Ma'alagachas, Mikabe Elchokim. Is that talking about per house or family? For the Gemara, I don't see any textual support either way. I was asking conceptually who makes more sense. Anyway, I think the answer is, I think the Rambam makes more sense conceptually. If there's a value for taking into account people in level number 2, why should level number 3 not take into account that value as well? And that's really the question Tosfos picks up with when he disagrees with the Rambam. Take a look at Tosfos and Daf Chafal Mabiz, the Ramaskal. The Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, says Tosfos quoting the Ri, Nira Lari, the Beis Shammai, U Beis Hillel, Lo Kaimi Ela Anerish Ubeiso. Level number 3, the Machlokes Hillel Shammai, is built off of level number 1, the Anerish Ubeiso. Shekain Yesh Yoter Hider, the Ika Hakeru Kishimose, Beholachal Machaser, Shuit Kineged Yomim, Hanechnas, and Hayotim. Avalim Osen Ner Lakal Echad, the Nafilu Yosef, Mikain Veelech, Laka Hakeru, Shiit Mashakaki, Shpnei Adam Abayis. In other words, says Tosfos, the Svara for the Ri is that if you would, you know, build off of level number 2, you'd have all sorts of candles, you have no idea what's going on. It would just be a big number of candles, it wouldn't be clear what you're trying to, why? By the way, that's that number. If you have 8 candles, you have no idea if it's the 4th night and there are 2 people in the house, or the 2nd night, and 4 people in the house, or the 1st night, 8 people in the house, or the 8th night, and 1 person in the house, it'd be a total mess. And therefore, Tosfos says, in order to accomplish this value of Hekera, L'chora, it pays to what? It pays to minimize the amount of candles that are lit. Even though, in other words, level 3 takes into account Hekera, and therefore you conclude the smaller of the two numbers. Give me 2 seconds before we get to your questions. I was a little bit surprised, because Hekera, where else in Torah does Hekera come up? In other words, if let's say you would eat matzah, but it wouldn't look like matzah, you'd be eating it inside a bag. You know, people drink those bottles of vodka. If you'd have matzah inside a bag, it wouldn't be nicked. Okay, let's say you'd be wearing your tefillin and you have it on, you know, or you're wearing tzitzis and you tuck them in, it's not nicked. Where does hekera serve as such a critical element that it defines the mitzvah? It's almost surprising. By no other mitzvah is there hekera. Where do you get the impression that hekera exists? Where does it come from? Most likely, most people's first suggestion, at least for Sumei Nisa, And if you look inside the Ritzvah, that's certainly the way the Ritzvah quotes the Riaz to learn. Take a look at the Ritzvah, it's on the other side of the page. The Ritzvah says over here, the Rizal maybe is the Ri, and I'm sure, I assume it's the Ri. But the Ritzvah seems to interpret the Ri that way. The Ri, Zal, I assume it's the Ri. Zal is just Zal, I think. Yeah, I assume so. The Ri, Zal, Perish, Kim, Min, Hagedu, Chashim, Mahajim, and Mahajim, the Ika, Persume, Isa, Tzvei. He had said it earlier on, just to catch up with what was going on. The first day he quoted was like the Ramban, who goes, the Aram Minhag is not that way, and he's explaining, Kim, Min, Hagedu, Chashim, Mahajim, and Mahajim, the Ika, Persume, Isa, Tzvei. There would have been Persume, Isa, Tzvei, but there's more of a Persume, Isa, this way. Why? Kim Haya Kol Echad Mosif Nero. And he adds in the footnote, he adds in over here because it's a funny gear. So, Lebeis Hillel Opoches Lebeis Shammai. Lo Yakira Olam de Mishim Pari Hachag, Mishim Mailim Bekodeshu, Ela Shayom, Rubenei Habayis, Nisrabu, Nismatu. You would think maybe people only keep in level 2. You would not necessarily know it's level 3. If it goes from 2 to 3, you don't know that we're increasing in night. We think we're increasing in number of people. And therefore, in order to keep things more nicker, to accomplish the goal of Pirsume Nisa, Lechora, that is what the Ritzvah concludes. Before I take around the questions, the next question we're going to have to ask is what? Back to the Rambam. Why wasn't the Rambam convinced by this argument that the Ritzvah seems to spell out clearly? In other words, why didn't the Rambam believe that, you know, the Ritzvah was correct? Sounds like a really nice argument. We got to take into account Pirsume Nisa. So therefore, we should change the Mishnah to take into account Pirsume Nisa. Or in other words, what are the assumptions behind this day of the Re, which at least maybe Totosos means, that's what Moshe had suggested, but certainly what the Ritzvah seems to understand. What is going on? What are the underlying assumptions over here, which were the Rambam disagreed with? Okay, let's take around the questions. We were going to come back to the Shiksa Rambam. 1, 2, 3, 4. One.
Well, I don't think it's an Totosos question to how do we know if someone's writing Mahajim and Mahajim?
We're level number two.
Or the truth is,
right, it's a fair point. I assume do more than that. Did you have any question in mind also? I could tell by the, you know. Yeah, it's interesting to note. So the truth is, the Ritzvah Taka does. The Ritzvah writes at the end, Mishum Pari Hachag, Mishum Ma'ilim Makodesh, who? Ela Shayom, Ubnei Habayis, Nisrabo, Nismatu. The Ritzvah actually does. Tosfos himself, if I'm not mistaken, and Tosfos himself also does. You would think that maybe we're in the house. Yeah, fair point. But so with Ritzvah, I think even Tosfos presents a point. I think it's a fair point. Yeah, sure. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Hold on. Well, when I return back to the Re, I'll make a note of that. But it's an excellent point. Hold on to that. Yeah. The sample pshat is lav dafka. But I'd like to try that. Yeah, I'd like to try to say dafka also. Yeah. I don't know if he was asking, I think, but you could ask that question. Your question is, Mahajan exists because you take into account the number of people. And let me sharpen your question, if I'm not mistaken. Your question is, and even according to Tosfos and the Ritva's conclusion, there's still an element of ambiguity. At the end of the day, if there are four candles, you don't know if it's the fourth night or if there are four people in the house. Yeah, I assume the answer for Tosfos doesn't address that question, which doesn't, I guess. The answer would be one of two. Either since most people keep Mahajir and Mahajir, it's not such an unclarity, or maybe more likely we try our best to take into account as much as we can, but at the end of the day, it's not perfect. It's a fair question. I don't know. I don't have anything better than that. I'm not sure. Okay. What are the underlying assumptions behind the Shittas HaRitzvah? The way the Ritzvah explains the Ri, what analyzes Harei according to the Ritzvah that the Rambam doesn't seem to take into account. What does the Ritzvah subscribe to that the Rambam doesn't? Yeah. I think the Rambam rejects Pesume Nisa. Sounds like an unbelievable Chiddush. So too big to be true. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what? The first one, again, I don't think anyone's going to disagree with the concept of Pirsume Nisa, but I certainly think you're right, that Pirsume Nisa requires, in other words, It's actually more than that, but yeah, I think you're right. In other words, one is that Persume Nisa is reflected by Hekeru. I mean, one can argue that. What are you talking about? I'm listening. I'm not sure to conceptualize the word later on, but this is what you said. Maybe Persume Nisa doesn't take into account Hekeru. The rest of the people fires the nation just to show it. In other words, this is certainly what the Ritva has in mind, that the goal is not just to show Caleb, but the Caleb have to almost tell a story or portray something or illustrate something. They have to communicate some message. What do they communicate? How many nights it is, according to the Rambam? Maybe there's no goal of communication. The goal of Christian Peace is just to show that there was an ace. The details are irrelevant. That could be the case. Another assumption, I think, the Ritva, which is that not only is there Persume Nisa, but I think Persume Nisa is a chelek shel hamitzvah. In other words, Persume Nisa is not just a wonderful thing to do, but it's part and parcel, a chelek in the mitzvah. It's part of the mitzvah of Neiris Chana, meaning, if Persume Nisa were to have been a separate miracle, then it's very difficult for me to imagine that it can somehow sculpt and shape and mold what the mice the mitzvah is. In other words, there's no way the mitzvah of Rulo had any halachic ramifications or any halachic meaning to it that would transform the mitzvah of Sukkah. They're two totally separate mitzvahs. Sukkah is a mitzvah of Sukkah, Rulo is a mitzvah of Rulo. They can't impact each other. And therefore, if Persume Nisa was a separate mitzvah, not part and parcel, not a chelik of the mitzvah of Neris Hanukkah, well then, it should have no implications of defining what Neris Hanukkah is. It could be, you know, a nice way of doing it, maybe you want to improve on it, but there's no way one can argue that we should change the Maisa HaMitzvah, minimize the Maisa HaMitzvah to accomplish Persume Nisa, if Persume Nisa is an external separate mitzvah. Rather, it's got to be part and parcel, a chelik of the mitzvah. It's got to be part of the mitzvah, not just part of the mitzvah, but so much so that it can change, it can create shinuyim, it can be bishana, yuchol l'shanot ha'mais the mitzvah. In a certain sense, these two assumptions are kind of similar. They're built off each other. The first one's a little separate. But I think these are the two major points, you know, two or three major points to break them up. One is that Persume Nisa is not just good for Mepharsim, but there was an ace of Mepharsim. What day is it? That's critical. That's part of Persume Nisa. Hekeru is a chelik of Persume Nisa. Number one. Number two is that the Persume Nisa is part of the mitzvah, A, and B, so much so that it can actually change the Maisa HaMitzvah. Rabbi Soloveitchik thought, not in context of his ritva, he brought a raya elsewhere, that the Rambam certainly believes that Persume Nisa is an independent mitzvah. If you take a look at the Rambam, Hilchas Chanukah, Perek Gimel Halacha, Gimel, the Soloveitchik thought that this was certainly the pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam reads as follows, in Hilchas Chanukah, Perek Gimel Halacha Gimel. In Halacha Alpha Beis, the Rambam briefly tells the story. He says as follows, Bavayashani Kishamalchu Yavan Gazrukzeris La Yisrael, Ubalu Daitim Lo and Yichamosim Lazar Bagar Mitzvos, and they took money from them, etc., etc. And then Halacha Beis, Kishagav Yisrael, Alai Vehem, Ibdu Makabik, Hafei, Bachodesh Kislev, etc., etc. The Rambam tells them the story, which is a fascinating question. It's uncharacteristic of the Rambam to include a history lesson. Then the Rambam says in Halacha Gimel as follows. Because of his big nays, Hitkinu Chachamim Sheba Oso Hadar Shimshmonas Yamim Ha'elu, Shetchilas and Kafhev Bekislev Yime Simcha, Bahalel, Umadlikim Behen Haneros Be'erev Al Pitzhe Abatim, Bechal Laila, Balaila Mishmonas Halilus Laharot of Lagalotanis. Says the Rambam, because of his big miracle, what do? Yime Simcha, Halel, and Hadlakas Neros. Yom Elohim the Kroyim Chanukah, Behena Serb Hesped of a Tainis, Kimei Haporim. Bahadlakos Haneros, Behem Mitzvah Medivai Sofim, Kikriyas HaMegil. What's surprising about this Rambam? What's interesting about it? What deal could. Yeah? That is a worthwhile thing to note, but not my point right now. He does point to kind of compare it to Kriyas HaMegil, and even later on he compares it to Kriyas HaMegil even more, which is a fascinating thing. What do you mean by that? But what?
This is called Chanukah HaMegil.
It's true. It's true. It's Megillah Chanukah, but really Megillah with the first two parakim, he kind of, you know, abandoned that. Now he's talking mostly about Chanukah stuff. But okay, there's a more almost glaring problem, which is what? What? It's surprising. He tells you twice he's a mitzvah of Neres Chanukah. Listen again. These are days where it's also for Hesper and Tainis. It's almost like you mentioned Hadlakas Neres twice. So I'll bet you thought that was enough reason to make a deal. Could say, L'chor, you see from here, according to the Rambam, that there are two different mitzvahs. One is a mitzvah of Hadlakas Neres, and one is a mitzvah of Persumei Nisan. And by the way, the first is a mitzvah which is connected to Yimei Simcha, Bahalel, Umadlikim, and Maneros, Alpischeh, Bati, Machalai, Velaila. Why? Leharo to Legalo, Tanes. That there's a mitzvah of Persumei Nisan. And Persumei Nisan is not just through the Neres Chanukah, that's one of the ways through it, but it's also through Halel, it's also through Simcha, it's also, there's a connection somehow. That we show Simcha, we show Halel, we show Hadlakas Neres, Laharot Legalot HaNes. And there's a separate mitzvah of Neres Chanukah, which is a mitzvah HaMaisa Hadlaka. Then Rabbi Soloveitchik further supported his theory from a Rambam in Perek Dal Halacha Ches. I don't understand exactly what he's talking about there. I can tell you what I understood out of it, but I don't fully understand it. I'm going to try to speak by Soloveitchik in a minute. The Rambam in Halacha Ches writes, "Bimei Asakana Meniach Adam Ner Chanukah B'Soch Beisam B'Bifdim Ner Echad L'Shtamish." I'm sorry, Dalit. Perek Dalit. What Halacha? Where is it? Right. So, "Bimei Asakana Meniach Adam Ner Chanukah B'Soch Beisam B'Bifdim." Afilo Hinichu Al Shulchanu Adayin. The Salvation pointed out, according to the Rambam, best is to have it outside, but if not, bring it in. Worst, put it on the table. Yes. Why is the table worse? Pointed out, he suggested, because a table is not even nicker at all. No one would notice that. It's different than any other candelabra. There's always a candelabra on your table. This is no Persumei Nisan at all. And even when there's no Persumei Nisan, still there's a separate mitzvah of Halakha. You see, there are two dinim. I'll try my best to disagree with that in a second. Then, and I'll tell you why I think so. What? Maybe, which I'm referring to. So at least according to Rami, it's written in the Harei Kadem. I'm not sure exactly what you're talking about, but for the Harei Kadem, he has a piece where it's written that he thinks the Rami believes it's two separate mitzvahs. I'll tell you the major problem. It's the Shitas HaRama. The Rama in Tav Resh Ayin Beis, the fifth base, has a fascinating Shita, which is Lichatchila, you should light Asher Tichla Regel Nashuk. However, if you don't light, before Asher Tichla Regel Nashuk, you can still light afterwards. Lichora, according to the Rama, it's because there are two different deities. One is a mitzvah of Persumei Nisan, and that exists only when it's actually Tichla Regel Nashuk. And even if not, you can still get the mitzvah afterwards. The Rama doesn't go that far, and the truth of the Rama doesn't go that far either. But Salvation points out that the Rama clearly furthers this theory, that there are two separate mitzvahs. One is a mitzvah of Persumei Nisan, and one is a mitzvah of Halakas Neres. He says it's in Tzarech Iyah that the Rama doesn't have this deity. I'm not even convinced that the Rama goes so far, but I'm convinced, I don't think the Rambam has to go this far. I'll tell you why. For starters, the Rambam doesn't separate the two mitzvahs, not even half the Rama. The Rebbe Soloveitchik believes that in Sarachian. But the truth is, L'chora, all the riyas are not that great. All they prove is that Persumei Nisan exists, period. Sometimes. I mean, it doesn't exist necessarily separate. I don't know that they're two separate mitzvahs. All I know is that it exists. For example, if I don't want to light it on my window, I put it into my house. I don't put it in my house, I put it on my table. Maybe I got no Persumei Nisan, but this doesn't mean Persumei Nisan is a separate mitzvah. It just means that I didn't get it. I got the check opposed to the check plus. I got the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neres without the kiyum of that. And the same thing with Asher Tichla Regel V'Nashuk. It could be there's a mitzvah of Hadlaka which exists beyond Persumei Nisan. It doesn't mean that Persumei Nisan is a separate mitzvah. It just means that there is no Persumei Nisan in this specific area. And to go back to Tara Gimel Halacha Gimel, the Rambam mentions that there are two different, mentions Halacha twice. It doesn't mean the two different mitzvahs. It just means the two different elements of the mitzvah. not convinced that the Rav had the correct deal. I do think the Chakira is a fascinating Chakira. I think the Pshat has to be this way in the Ritva. I'm not convinced the Rambam disagrees. If in any event, the Rambam may just hold. The Rambam may just hold that there's no value of Hekera at all. In other words, the Rambam may just believe that there is person, maybe it's part of the mitzvah, it's not part of the mitzvah, I don't know. But there's no value of Hekera at all. According to the Rav, that's what the Rambam disagreed with. I'm not convinced the Rav's right, but the Rambam believed that this was wrong over here. It's not a chiluk in the mitzvah, the way the Rambam disagreed according to his Halachic. That the machlokas lechora would be my deal from the mitzvahs. That's a chiluk in the mitzvah. The Rav is around that two separate mitzvahs. Maybe he's right. I'm not convinced. It could be very simply like what again, we said it earlier on. So the said earlier on, it could be the Rambam just doesn't. Before he said it, there's no value of hekera at all. And by the way, there are others who believe there is a value of hekera. For example, the Rambam, he paskins either exactly like the Rambam or very similar. In effect, machlokas achronim. But the Ramah himself says you also like per person one, you know, eight menorahs, 800 feet over your house. And the Ramah says that make sure each person lights their candles separate from the next person. It shouldn't just be a big pile of candles together. It shouldn't just be 50 candles, 80 candles, and you have no idea what's going on. There is a value of Hekera. There is a value of Hekera, according to the Ramah. It just doesn't transform the mitzvah. In other words, it just doesn't define the mitzvah as. Doesn't find the Mahajan and the Mahajan to be only knights and not people. He takes into account both. He just says also you should take into account the value of Hekera. In any event, the Rambam makes no such notion, the Rambam makes no such allusion to that. There's a very good chance the Rambam believes that, you know, there's no, the more candles, the better. As many candles as you have, as great it is. In other words, the Persumidis is the number of candles and not necessarily the message it portrays. And that's could be a question. At what was by this machlokes over here, what is the goal of the Persumidisa? To convey something specific or just to convey much more general? That there was an Ace, does it have to tell the details of the story, what night it is, you know, that it's increasing, etc., etc.? That may very well be the machlokes. I want to throw one this out, be Derech HaDrush, even what's the Ikon Ace? Is the Ikon Ace the fact that we won? Or is the Ikon Ace the fact that, you know, the candles went up? It could be, you know, if the goal is to show the increasing numbers, so maybe the Nefach HaShemet is the bigger of the two miracles. However, you know, the Maharal writes that the really the bigger Nes is the Milchama. If that be the case, we're just showing that there was a Nes and not necessarily, you know, okay, maybe that's the case. I mean, that sounds to be a little bit speculative, but it could work. I have no idea. However, if you look at Tosfos inside, you don't get the impression at all from Tosfos that the Ritva is correct. Nowhere in the words of Tosfos does he mention anything about Persume Nisa. And therefore, it could be that's really what he has in mind, he just doesn't spell it out. Or it could be he has something else in mind. And what I'd like to do is try to explore that second possibility in a second. Yes, Shalyak, what's up?
If the Ramah says that the Hekera can't find the P, what would the Ramah say in the interview where it's impossible to make a Hekera? He said, sure, it shows that you can make a Hekera between like both.
For starters, it could be the Rambam would be happy with the Hekera downstairs because each guy has their own menorah, each guy has their own set, not just candles all over the place. It does look like a mess. You see, Shemes. Yamim Hanichnasim, it'll get to be a bigger mess. It could be right, it could be the Rambam really feels, you know, maybe you're right, maybe the Rambam feels that it can taka change the nature, but this is just not enough for me. Fair point. I take my back. It's a fair point. Could be that's right. Okay. If you look at Tosfos, we have to get more careful. He mentions nothing about Persim Nisa. He seems to say that the reason why level 3 has Yoter Hidr is because to Ika Hekera. It doesn't sound like there's Ika Hekera Tvei or there's Ika Persim Nisa Tvei. The Ritva's of the Relashim was Mishum to Ika Persim Nisa Tvei. According to the Tosfos, it sounds like either there is Hekera or there's no Hekera. It's not something that has something that works gradually or has, you know, areas of gray in the middle. It's like a black and white, it's like a light switch. It's on or it's off. Hinder, there's more and less hinder. There either is heker or there's not heker. And now the question is, well, what is the goal of being nicker? What's the goal of hekera if it's not persumenis? In other words, what had triggered us in the first place to believe was persumenis is what other goal would there be in hekera? Doesn't seem to exist by other mitzvahs. So we suggested it was Persimmonius. However, I'd like to throw out an alternative shot and tell us, host, that maybe that's not exactly what's going on over here. The truth is, there are Achronim, the Grum, the Pre-Chadash, who want to suggest that this Machlokas, Tosfos and the Rambam, is really just had a paskin in the Gemara. The Gemara had part of the Machlokas Amorayim, if you remember, between Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin and Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvida. Was the Svar for Beis Hillel Beis Shammai about Yamim HaNichnasim versus Yamim HaYotzim? Or alternatively, was about Pari HaKag and about the Milam of Kodesh Ve'ed Moridin? And the Achronim would like to suggest that that's good for the Machlokas, the Rambam versus Tosfos. How do you pass it? They like to suggest, according to Tosfos, you pass it about Yamim HaNichnasim and Yamim HaYotzim. If you hold the whole, the way, the third level of Hiddur is about Yamim Nichnasim, so you know what's absolutely critical, you know what's really important? Hekera, the whole point is to show that we're increasing in number one number each time. Not because of Presume Nisa, that's something else, but because that is what the Hiddur is. The Hiddur is the Yamim HaNichnasim. We're trying to show that each day is a new day. We're trying to show that the days are progressing. The most important thing is Hekera. However, if the goal is Ma'ilim Kodesh Ve'ed Moridin, L'chara, there's no real value of showing anything. There's no goal of Hekera. There's just the goal of having more than the previous day. Whether it looks like more or not is almost irrelevant. It's totally irrelevant. It's not almost irrelevant. It's irrelevant. We don't care if there are more or less. It's a total mess. There's no value of Hekera at all. I don't know if this is the pshat in the Ramah, because the Ramah seems to take into account Hekera on some level. But the Rambam doesn't take into account Hekera, and all this very well is the Machlokas, the Gra, the Rambam versus Tosfos. This is exactly what the Gra says is correct. If this is really true, so I'd like to point out two really nice points. Number one is, if you read the words of Tosfos, you find a very nice deal. What deal is there worth to make if the Gra is correct and the Pre-Chadash is correct? When Tosfos quotes the Machlokas Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, which Hesber does he offer? What? He quotes Dafka Yamim Nichnasim Yamim Hayotzim. In other words, it's Dafka, I'll leave with that Mandamar. We don't know which Chad the Mandamar it is, but in other words, according to the Gra, according to the Pre-Chadash, it's not just by chance that Tosfos quoted one day and not the other. It's good for what he believes. And with Korah, that being that grufa, it's not by chance, it's grufa Tosfos Lashikasa, that because we hold of Yamim HaNichnasim and Yamim HaYotzim, that's grufa what creates Hekera. And the Gra argues, the Pre-Chadash argue, together they suggest, and maybe that's grufa what the Rambam disagrees with, that it's not about Yamim HaNichnasim and Yamim HaYotzim, but rather it's about the Pari HaChag, and more importantly, Ma'ilim HaKodesh Ve'ein Morin, if that's the case, by the way. So that's grufa, not what the Ritva has in mind. The Ritva doesn't think it's the Machlok Samaroi, and therefore it's not surprising that when the Ritva quotes this Machlokas, it's open to passing like the Pari HaChag and the Ma'ilim HaKodesh, and that's good for what he does. According to the Ritva, because it's a Shaila of Persume Nisa and not a Shaila of Hekera Minei Yubei, because it's not an independent Shaila of Hekera, but rather Hekera is, it's not the Sibah, but it's a Simon, it's reflective of something else. It's reflective of the Persume Nisa, therefore he doesn't hold of the Yamim HaNichnasim, the Yamim HaYotzim, and photocopy of the page I made, you know, footnote 71 thinks they're the same. I put a little tzarachian over there, because I think they're talking different. He points out at the end over there, I think later on he points out that they're passing differently. Here, for those 73 points that, you know, they're passing differently, I think it's not just a shiloh of sap, but rather a fundamental machlokas as to what is the goal of the ri and hakera. Is it almost a byproduct in order to accomplish something else? It's a heichi timsa to get pursuing yourself, but according to the simple pshat, it sounds like it's a goal in and of itself, which is also the mashmos of the Meiri, also the mashmos of maybe other Rishonim as well. In any event, this is the way that the Gra and the Pre-Chadash learned. The truth is, I'm not convinced that the Rambam has to hold that, you know, we hold the Parah Chag, and more importantly, Ma'ilim HaKodesh, according to Beis Hillel. It could be he also holds that the goal is Yom HaNichnas of Yom HaYotzim, there's just no goal of Hekera in it. Or in other words, what the Gra really, his pshat of Tosfos really suggests two points, two assumptions of Tosfos. Number one is that Yamim HaNichnasim and Yamim HaYotzim value hekera, and therefore, Mahadran and Mahadran is built off of level number one. It doesn't take into account the number of people, it doesn't take into account the number of nights. He suggests, the Rambam argues on the first of his assumptions, which is that we don't value hekera at all because it's not Yom HaNechdas and Yom HaYotzi. It couldn't be the Rambam holds up Yom HaNechdas and Yom HaYotzi. He just doesn't think hekera is a critical point. You know, he thinks, I don't know what, it's the goal is not to be dicker, the goal is just to take it into account, opposed to displace that type of message in Metro. In any event, that seems to be the two ways, at least I thought of learning the Machlokas, the Rambam versus Tosfos, is depend on Persimidisa, does depend on Hekera. What is that independent value? The best I have is the Grun, there's nothing wrong with it, and just, you know, even textual support that it's really true. If you look, it's really surprising. The Taz points out the Ashkenazim seem to have the practice with the Rambam practice, not like what Tosfos has, rather with the Rambam, or along those lines. And the Sephardim seem to have the practice of the Shitas HaTosfos. And the Taz points out that it's an anomaly. They kind of cross. They switch over. That Tosfos seems to follow the Shita of, sorry, the Ashkenazim follow the Shita of the Rambam, which is Mahadran and Mahadran takes into account per person as well as per night. Well, the Sephardim seem to follow the practice of Tosfos. The truth is, this is a Sephardi practice for many, many, many years. The Rambam himself said, even though I hold, really, it's only, you know, one menorah per person, not per house. Nonetheless, Minhag HaSephard is not that way, and all the Chachmei Sephard, the Ritva, the Ran, they all, when they address this Shaila, they're all like, well, our Minhag is not this way. And there are those who believe that the Ashkenazic practice is correct. The Rabbi Yonis and the Ritva, the Rambam in Svar, which is not in practice. In any event, according to the Taz, there's a crisscross in Pesach. There's actually a funny situation over here where the Mechaber seems to follow Shita of Tosfos and the Rambam seems to follow the Shita of the Rambam. If you look carefully, and I think all the Brisker certainly point this out, I think we'll go back to the Aruch HaShulchan, if I'm not mistaken, but this is a famous question, the famous point, which is, if you look at the Rambam Hilchos Tanakh, you'll notice it, the Rambam has a fancy deal. If you don't, anyone not know the deal? Between the Rambam and the Rambam? You know this? If you look at the Rambam writes, listen carefully, I'm Perek Dalet, Kama Neros Hu Malbit B'Chanakh, what does it sound like? One person lighting it. Mitzvah says she had called by somebody's mother there to base, so maybe you actually have a ladder in that. And then he gets to the Mahadr Yoter al Zeh, which is Mahadr and Mahadr, I'm skipping. Va'osa mitzvah namah, for Madlik ner lekol echad balal harishon. Madlik, Lashon Yachid, singular. One guide lights for everyone. Who most of all, b'chalayla v'layla. Ner echad. Which sounds like, if there are 10 people in the house, on the 8th day, how many candles are lit? Everyone agrees 8. Who does the lighting of those candles? According to the Rambam, you get the impression that the lighting is done by only the Baal HaBayis. He lights all 80 candles. While the Rambam, if you look at the Rambam, certainly the practice of the Ashkenazic people, is that each person lights on their own. The truth is, there is an interesting halachic nafgamina between this, Rabbi Soloveitchik points out, although it's not mashma at all this way from the Rambam. Misvar, there's a great nafgamina, which is, would you light for a tinok? If you have a tinok in the house, if you have a one-month-old baby, should you take it into account? According to the Rambam, what would you suggest? Yeah. I would suggest not, because everyone lights for themselves. This guy's no chivin chinuch, he's got no chivin anything. He's a month old. But according to the Rambam, at least arguably what? Arguably, you light for every single person in the house, no matter how old they are. It doesn't seem to be mashed that way in the Rambam, where the Rambam describes his mitzvah, he says, where is it? He says, I'm not sure, take it back. I'm not sure, the Rav has that as a nafkamina. It could be it's a good nafkamina, it could be that, I'm not sure, tell me what you think. The reason why I'm a little concerned that is because when the Rav talks about level number two, which is Mahadar al-Mitz, Mahadar Neres Kimidin Anshe Abayis, Ner Lekol Echad Yechad, Bein Anoshim, Bein Noshim, he doesn't take into account children. The fact that level 3 is built off of level 2 would also indicate that what? Probably we don't take into account children. So Misvara, it's a good nafkamina, and it may be a nafkamina between Tosfos versus the Rebbeinu Yohonasan, or versus the Daya and the Ritva, assuming it's not the Rambam, but the Rambam himself seems to be a shtickle mash, but not that way. Misvara, it's a good nafkamina, just so you want to make sure it's really true. I'm not sure it's really true in the Rambam. In any event, what would be behind this machlokas? What would be the svar for the Rambam? What would be the svar for the Ramah? Why would each person light for themselves, and why would it, you know, be a lighting on you know, for the Baal HaBayis lighting versus anybody else? So who makes first? Who makes less at first glance? You know,
within our conceptual breakdown, which is, I guess, Tosfos and the Chafei Svar versus the Rambam and the Ramah, and you have a split between the Rambam and the Ramah. Now we discuss this first machlokas. We spent a lot of time discussing the machlokas, whether or not talking level number three is per person or per house. Bechora, there's another shalit. Even if it's per person, who does lettings? The Baal HaBayis, or is it each individual person? The Rambam seems to indicate the Baal HaBayis, while the Rambam seems to indicate per person. And again, one may say labdafka, the Rambam doesn't really mean it. And that's Lachora how the Taz learns. Again, the Taz being the one who linked up the machlokis, the machaber to Tosfos, and the Ramah to the Rambam. I'm not sure the Taz just didn't pick up on this deal, or if it was labdafka, or if there was no svar to it. I'm not sure exactly what enabled him to draw his conclusion, but there are those who disagree. What would be, you know, good? Assuming there is a disagreement over here, what's behind this machlokis? So for starters, who makes more sense? The Ramah or the Rambam?
The Rambam.
The Rambam. Why?
So that's not at first glance. That's much more fancy. We'll get there. But we'll get to the first grubby phrase, right?
Well, I
think
we have a question.
So I thought at first glance the Ramah, at the end of the day, each person should like their own. Why should there be something else? So there's two suggestions I'd like to share with you. One suggestion is, and it could even be the case, is that maybe the mitzvah of Neiris Chanukah is a mitzvah on the bias. Neiris Shabbos certainly is on the Chepta, it's not in the Gava. Neiris Kolecha B'Yechad is the Chepta supposed to reflect how many people are in the house. And maybe level number three is also on the guy. It's also on the bias. If it's on the bias, one guy does all the lighting. But Soloveitchik has a whole discussion as to whether or not the mitzvah is actually on the Chefetz or on the Gavra. He quotes in Achlokas the Magid Mishnah versus some day in the Torah as to whether or not the Rosh Hashanah of Sar Shalom Hagon or something like that, I forgot who it is. And if, let's say, two families live in one Chatzar, do they light two menorahs or not? The Magid Mishnah believes they light two Chanukiyot, two menorahs, the English word menorahs, and according to the day that the Torah quotes, you only light one. Soloveitchik thinks that's proof of this machlokas. Is it on the gavra or is it on the house? In other words, if it's on the house, two people live in a house, they should light one. If it's on the gavra, each person has to light themselves. This is very nice, and it's a good machlokas in svar, but it's very difficult. Well, I'll give you another nafkamina. Another nafkamina is a homeless person. If a person doesn't own a home, is he chad in Eretz Kanaan? So that's taka machlokas rishonim as well. According to Tosfos in the second sub, the Tosfos says as follows. There's a special mitzvah. If you aren't going to light, either because you don't have a house, whatever reason why, if you're not going to light, you can make a birchas harava, which means you can make the bracha for seeing. There's actually a machlokas rishonim. If you see it before you're going to light and you plan on lighting, should you make a bracha or not? You know, that's a second machlokas rishonim. If you walk home, not looking at the candles. So avoid that suffix shot, suffix bracha. If you walk home at Hanukkah, looking at the floor. In any event, I bumped into that child last night. I was driving home late. I landed like around 10 o'clock at night. I went to the cafe. I would say, Midor, because I'm Midor on my home. I was thinking, should I make a breakfast on Rowan? I got the light when I get home. I didn't.
What?
I
said,
I guess it's after you light it, you're doing this. It's valid. I hear. In any event, it's a cute gasha. In any event, so Rav Soloveitchik, so the Gemara focus on showing you. Tosfos says. So why is it that you make a bracha on seeing a Chanukah menorah, seeing an Eretz Chanukah? You don't make a bracha on seeing tefillin. You make a bracha on seeing someone else who's not eating matzah. Someone else who's not eating lulav. It's a manishana, a mitzvah of Chanukah from Eretz Chanukah from all the mitzvahs. So Tosfos there, some critics says one answer or two answers, but somewhere on the line he says, if a person doesn't own a house, Chazal wanted them to have some level of ability to connect. Mash for that. If you don't own a house, what's the din? You're taka, but mash for the chiv is on the bias. Problem is that the Rambam himself in Hilchos Brachos, right, is certain if it's better on the bias. For example, mezuzah and ma'akev, and if you don't build a house, you don't have to. It's certain mezuzah and a gavra, like lulav and tefillin. The Rambam says, "Certain mitzvahs are on them, and they're also on the gavra." For example, he throws out three examples. What are the odds? He tells you, "Neiris Chanukah."
And therefore, this suggestion as the Chafetz Gamer can maybe be a great suggestion, and maybe be the Pshat and Rabbeinu Yehonasan who agrees with the Rambam, but it's not the Pshat and the Rambam. It's not the Pshat and the Rambam. The Rambam would not subscribe to such a theory that the mitzvah is on the bodies, and that's why, you know, one guy lights 8 candles, because the Rambam himself, Hilchos Brachos, seems to contradict that befeir. So again, what's Bavis Machlokes? The Ramah versus the Rambam, maybe one could argue the Chafetz Gamer thing, it certainly wouldn't be the Pshat and the Rambam, maybe it's good for the Rabbeinu Yehonasan, or other Rishonim who are not as clear. You know, once the Rishonim are not clear, you can say anything you want. But the Rambam is much more clear, so it's been worth it. So here's where the Bris Rav steps up to that and says something, which is a very, very well-known piece of Torah, but a beautiful piece of Torah, you shouldn't walk through Shibin HaKotel, Hanukkah, not known as Bris Rav. He starts off quoting over Torahs from his grandfather. His grandfather, the Beis Halevi, lines up a machlokes about the nature of Bris Mila and Sitzin HaMa'ach and Sitzin She'emach. If we go Sitzin HaMa'ach and Sitzin She'emach Benar, basically. And we'll do this with a little bit of maturity. When a person removes the orla, essentially, when a baby's born, you have the aver. And on top of the aver, it's almost like a sleeve on a shirt, where you have like, it's kind of surrounded around it. The lower cuts off the thing, and eventually kind of slides down and sticks to your, sticks to the aver, the wrapping sticks to the aver. In the more medical world, they do stitches. In the frum world, they just kind of let it, you know. And that's how you create the atara. So you cut that, that's basically the wrist movement. Now, if you leave, so most times the atar is totally clean. Once in a while, if you don't do a good job, the person leave behind some types of foreskin on behind. So that's called tzitzit. Sadi yud nun. Tzitzit. What's the halakha with tzitzit? If you leave behind more than 50% of them, that's called tzitzit hama'afid. Nothing you can do about that, you gotta get rid of it. However, isn't it called sitzin she'en ha'ma'akvin, which is the minority? Let's say you leave behind a little scrappy piece of foreskin. You leave behind 48%, 49%, 2%, anywhere between 0, between 1 rather, and 49%, that's called sitzin she'en ha'ma'akvin. So the Gemara says in such a situation, what's the story with sitzin she'en ha'ma'akvin? The Gemara there says, if you're cutting and cutting and cutting as long as you're still osik, in the process, you can keep on removing the sitzin she'en ha'ma'akvin until they're all gone. However, once you're mafsik, you have to stop and just leave them. That's what the Gemara says. Now again, consistent chain of management, of course you can go back and cut them up because you're not going to commit it. However, if it's tzitzin she'ein ha'ma'akvin, then once you stop, once you're porish, once you're mafsik, then you can no longer go back. That's what the Gemara says. When the machlokes be shown in whether or not that Gemara is talking about Torah on Shabbos or every day of the week. According to the Torah and the Ramah, it's talking about Shabbos. And therefore, if it's Shabbos, you can't go back and do it because Dafka Bris Mila is Doche Shabbos, but removing the Tzitzin, which is just the Hiddur or whatever it is not Doche Shabbos. Therefore, you can remove it Monday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. You can always remove it, but on Shabbos, you can't go back and remove it as long as you're still Osik in the Mitzvah, it's still a nice Mitzvah. Once you're Poresh, you can no longer go back because it's Dafka Bris that's Doche Shabbos. And not removing the tzitzit. The Rambam, if you look at the Rambam says this Gemara is talking about every day of the week, not just on Shabbos. I'm actually quoting twice, once on Shabbos, once on every day of the week, seemingly. And the Rambam believes that this Gemara is talking about every day of the week. That if on a Wednesday you leave behind six in shame, after you cannot go back and remove them. You got it? Steve, you got that? You got that there? Good. Yeah, you with me? So Yaakov, just playing Yaakov. Still a little tired. My humor has not yet kicked in. And after I asked him twice just to make that joke go, so let me.
No, I
was going to ask him first. I planned it only once after. I'm like, oh, look at that. But it wasn't. In any event. So the question is, according to what's about this machlokes over here, the Torah versus the Rambam, according to the Torah, you can always go back and remove the tzitzit. According to the Rambam, no. According to the Rambam, no, why not? The Rambam, according to the Pshat, is that there's no value in it. Why is there no value? It's stam chav, it's no value in stam chavol. Why is there no value to it? Because you lost your opportunity. Game over. Or in other words, I think this is the Rambam has two assumptions over here.
The Rambam believes, and both of them are pretty important, but one of them is important for us, and that's what the Beis Halevi thinks is correct. The Rambam seems to make two assumptions. Number one is that the mitzvah of Bris Milah is a Maisa, and number two is that once you're done, you can no longer Yashar Lahosif Hidr. Essentially, these are two assumptions of the Rambam, that once you're done doing the Maisa Bris Milah, you can no longer go back and even during the weekday and fix it since it's Shein Ma'afin, because once you're done with the mitzvah, you can no longer go back and in Hidr. The mitzvah's done, game over. The truth is, the Torah and the Rama can argue on one of two assumptions. They can either argue, no, the mitzvah is not the maisa, but rather what's the mitzvah? The Toksa, the mitzvah is to live a life as a mahal. And that, by the way, is a famous sheet of the Ma'arach or Zaruah. Who knows this Ma'arach or Zaruah? The Ma'arach or Zaruah says, is a quote to Gemara, Gemara in Shas. The Gemara says that David HaMelech went to a mikvah, took off his tzitzis, took off his tefillin, took off his clothing, but he got very depressed. He doesn't have mezuzah because it's a mikvah. He doesn't have tzitzis on, he doesn't have tefillin on. He's totally disappointed until he realized, give out. I have a mikvah. What's that mitzvah? Bris milah. Now, of course, the Rus says, what, you think he's having a bris at age 40 years old in the mikvah? There's no way that's the case. Ella what? As long as you are a person who is mahu, you are yotzei mitzvah every second of your life. It's not a one-time mitzvah. Every second you live is a status of mahu yotzei mitzvah. And by the way, it's a fact that in machlokes, the Rambam right. Let's say a person doesn't do the bris milah. So, right, there's a certain, usually your kares are only avelos. There are two mitzvahs where you could get kares for. What are they? Korban Pesach and bris milah. At what point in time would you get kares for bris milah? The end of your life, when you live a life without having done it, right? That's what the Rambam means. The Rambam says you get kares every second along the way. The truth is that machlokes may be about the nature of kares, if you get it more than once or not. But the machlokes also very well may be about the nature of bris milah. According to the Rambam, what would the nature of bris milah be? It's a totsah to live a life as a mahu. Every second you are missing that opportunity, you're chayav kares over and over and over again. Mashenkin, according to the Rambam, what's the mitzvah? It's a maisa mitzvah. At what point in time did you not fulfill that maisa mitzvah? The answer is when you died before you had it. And therefore, maybe that's the machlokas. Maybe the Torah and the Rambam would agree talking with the Rambam that the mitzvah is the totsah. And therefore, of course, you can go back and add in the hidr later on. Not because you can add in hidr, but because the mitzvah is constantly going. As long as you're alive, you can go back and do the tzitzit chain mafia. That's one way to learn this basketball, because that's not how the Beis Halevi does. The Beis Halevi suggests that the Ramah and the Tur believe that you can add in hidr. Beis Halevi believes you can add in hidr later on. And this is a fascinating discussion as to whether or not, in general, you can add in hidr later on. In other words, once a person does a mitzvah and he's done with the mitzvah, the Beis Halevi assumes with me with a mitzvah, not a mitzvah. Once the mitzvah is done, can you add in a hidr later on? Basically, maybe one of the clerk, this question, he thinks, depends upon whether or not hidr mitzvah is an independent mitzvah or a chalik in the mitzvah. A similar parallel chakir to what we discussed about Pesach Nisan, it's part of the mitzvah or not. In other words, when a person does hidr mitzvah, does he get two checks or does he get a check plus? Is it tefillin, but a nicer version of tefillin, or one mitzvah, just a better mitzvah? Or is it two mitzvahs, one of tefillin and one of hidden mitzvah? That's the Beis Halevi's question. And I think Reb Chaim Soloveitchik later on had reapplied this theory to different contexts. Reb Chaim was very machmir on Sukkot's time. You should know, Reb Chaim, the Soloveitchiks were unbelievable. They used to listen to not just the 100 Tekiah Shofar on Reb Chaim, the Brisker Rav. The rest of it, the Rav himself a little bit less, but he wasn't as, I won't say crazy, but he wasn't as extreme. Reb Chaim used to lift up numerous lulavim on Sukkot, and he'd show up numerous times. He used to say Kriyat Shema every day, once with Havara Sfarit and once with Havara Ashkenazis. He had all sorts of kumyas, all sorts of to make sure every single sheep in the world is covered. You know, that's Reb Chaim's style. That's very Moshe Lichtenstein once told me that the Rav and Reb Chaim did it out of a game, and the Brisker Rav did it out of like paranoia. That was a different hashgachic approach. In any event, so So the Chaim once had a situation come up because he had two lulav. One was mehudar, but the mehudar was unbelievably beautiful. However, he wasn't sure if it was kosher or not. And the next one was a kosher lulav, but it wasn't that nice. He wasn't sure which he looked up first. So Chaim thought maybe it was Gufa telling the Shiloh, if you can add in hidr afterwards, well then maybe you should look up the kosher one first. Because Ein Mavir Nala Mitzvah, so whatever other reason why. However, if you can't do hidr once you're yotzei, well then it pays to lift up the mehudar one, even though it's safek pasul, because if you're yotzei, great, and if not, so the yotzei later on, but you can no longer add in hidr afterward. That's our time suggestion. And that's a question that the briskers all are mepalpel with. There's a big kopel about this. Can you add in hidr later on? That's the basic lady. That's his son Reb Chaim said like this, and his grandson Reb Chaim said like this. Took this exact same thing and carried it over. Now, that's the assist. Who can score the goal? That shul knows the bar. Who can score the goal? That's the assist. How does this base Halevi, how does this base Halevi help the Briska Rav be managed in his machlokes? The Briska Rav says as follows. Wait up, machlokes the Rama versus the Rama as to whether or not you hit a mitzvah afterwards, that's great. When I light one candle, once the Baal Bais lights the first candle, what's the halacha? He's yotzei what? The first lover. From there on out, what's he fulfilling? What's he doing? Hidr mitzvah. As long as he's continuing to light, he's still osik in the mitzvah. Once he's poresh, once he's mafsik, then what? Can he? He's done. Unless he can go back and add in hidr later on. According to the Rambam Bris Mila, can you add in hidr later on? No. According to the Rambam, can you? The Torah of the Rambam, yes. That's proof of this machlokas over here by Neir Chaim. Once the Baal Bais stops, according to the Rambam, you can't add it anymore. Therefore, if you want to have all 80 candles lit, who has to light all 80 of them? The Baal Bais. Why? Because if it would stop after 8, it'd be discontinued. It'd be a hefsek, it'd be parish, it'd be mafsek. You can't continue lighting after 8. At 8, you're done. Once you're mafsek, you're done. Therefore, the Baal Bais lights 8, then he lights 9 and 10 until he gets to all 80. However, according to the Ramah, who believes you can be mosif, hidr, even after the mitzvah is done. So once the Baal Bais is done lighting his candles and he's Polish, he's done. But every other person can still what? Light their own, because you can add in hidr after the mitzvah is complete. Says the Briska Rav, that's my grandfather's chakira between the Rambam and the Ramah, is gufa manifests itself in Hilchas Shabbos as well. Now the truth is, there is a very big assumption to this Briska Rav. What's the big assumption the Briska Rav is making, which is not so pasha? The hefsek, maybe, but I think that's fair. What? You would be saying this if... I'm not sure. It could even be... I'm not sure. It's a fair point. Yeah, maybe around pretty much the same thing in a second.
Everybody else in past lives goes back to the hidr of the first person, as opposed to being one another for each person to do their own mitzvah.
So you guys are alluding to one point. I was alluding to a different point. I'll get to your point in a second. I was thinking about it in a second. I was just thinking, one could have, is the hidr mitzvah of Hanukkah the same hidr mitzvah as every other mitzvah by Kaltar Kula? What does the Briska Rav think? He's certainly assuming the answer is yes. And just like my hidr, you can add it later on, so to hear you can add it later on. L'chara, one could have argued and said that this hidr is fundamentally different from every other hidr. Why would anyone say that? Who told me this hidr is a little bit different? Yeah, this hidr changes the Maisa HaMitzvah, doesn't just add on, not just the same old thing, but more beautiful. This hidr mitzvah changes Be'etz in the Maisa HaMitzvah. In any event, that's a major assumption that Briska Rav is making. And Yaakov is pointing out that maybe this does this assume that the mitzvah is on the Chafetz according to the Rambam, It could be not. It could be really the mitzvah on the gavra. Each person kind of has to light their own, and if a person does own a house, he's not chayiv in it. You know, it's a mitzvah. You know, it's a mitzvah. If a person does own a house, he's still chayiv in it anyway. But somehow, either it's reflected through the house, or somehow, I don't know if my father's a shliach for me, or he's doing the hiddur for me, or something. I hear the point. I'm not sure. It requires one more. I hear. Yeah.
If it isn't
on
the gavra, then
it doesn't
stop at the
one for the other. Well, see, it's not really true, because mahajim would be on the gavra. Ner isha beso is on the chefza. It's like a funny thing. I mean, level number one is on the chefza. Once you're done with that, each gavra has his ability to add on more. But they can't add on more because this. So therefore, what the halacha instructed was that the father should add on more for each person, for each gavra. I guess that's the best way. You have to ensure that they get lit for you, but not as a, not the bias on the gavra, but someone else can light it for you. I guess that's the best way of saying it. I think you have to. I think the Rambam was forced into a corner. He knew that, according to Bishop, we know that once the Balabai lights one thing and he's Polish, how could anyone else do any more hither? It's done. Game over. That's good for the Bris Gros point. The Rambam was forced into making such a conclusion, drawing such a conclusion. Okay, we'll stop here.